Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Miss Cassie's children's message and my sermon share a little bit of common. We didn't talk about it really until this morning, but we both are using GPS, probably because it's such a great symbol. But I'm starting with one of my favorite TV shows, probably my favorite television show of all time, is called The Office. And one scene that really fits well today is a scene where Michael, the boss, and Dwight, who is one of the workers, are sitting in a car, and you join them, and all of a sudden you see that they're stopped and they're having an argument. Michael has started to turn off the road he's driving, and Dwight is arguing with him. Now, you got to kind of understand that Steve Carroll, who plays Michael, the inept boss who did all the kinds of stupid stuff that only a boss could get away with. In this scene, Dwight is telling, he's trying to listen to his navigation device, and it tells Michael, turn right. So he immediately stops and starts to turn right. But Dwight says, wait, no, it means not turn right now, bear right a few meters. Michael responds, the machine knows what it's talking about, Dwight. It knows a shortcut. Dwight is understandably concerned because there's no road where Michael has started turning, and just a few feet further is a lake. Dwight gets frantic. It can't mean that. There's a lake there. But Michael continues turning, saying, the machine knows. Stop yelling at me. And all of a sudden, of course, they're in the lake, and Michael's car is totaled. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? That's the point for us today. When you're going the wrong way, what should you do? Turn and live. Don't drive into the lake, or worse yet, into the lake of fire. Turn back from your evil ways. If you're off the narrow road, then the Holy Spirit is calling you, turn and live. Or as Miss Cassie might say, recalculating. The New Testament likes to use this picture of the life of Christians as a road. John the Baptist says, prepare ye the highway of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Ezekiel, the Apostle Paul, and Jesus all warn us today that you can't take anything for granted when you're driving on the road. Now, no teen's parents would be impressed if they protested after a crash, but Dad, you should have seen how good I was driving before the accident. I didn't hit any pedestrians. I made complete stops, and I used my blinkers. I stayed on the road for 99% of my drive. Well, unless you're driving on the interstate through Kansas, you can't take your hands off the wheel for more than a few seconds, or you'll end up in someone else's lane, or in someone else's lap, or in the ditch. Losing our focus for even a few moments can result in problems, both minor and major. That's why Jesus indicates that we all have to repent. Paying attention just for so long and then giving up doesn't cut it. Paying attention until you're confirmed and then not paying any more attention doesn't cut it. When you're on a road trip, it's important to pay attention the whole time, not just the beginning. It doesn't matter if you start out on the wrong road on the trip, if you start on the right road, if you, by the end of the trip, you're on the wrong road. Getting there most of the way isn't very helpful if you're lost 500 miles away from your location or 5 miles away from your location, you're still lost. On the other hand, even if the start of your road trip was a little bumpy and you made some wrong turns, well, if you end up on the right road, if you eventually get straightened out, you're in better shape than the person who started right, but ended wrong. In other words, what Jesus are trying to say is it doesn't matter how good your track record in the past was. What matters is that you're paying attention to Jesus today. saying, I was faithful for so long, doesn't make an affair okay. Being nice to a bunch of little old ladies doesn't excuse you for being a complete jerk to the guy working the fast food counter. No murderer has ever won an appeal by saying, but I'm a good person all the rest of the time. No. That's why Yahweh tells the Israelites in Ezekiel chapter 33, you people say, the way of the Lord is not just when it is your way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. We might say, well, I should be saved because my parents were good Christians, or I still have my membership at church, or I go to Sunday school, or I went to Sunday school. I was on the church board at one time, so I'm on God's good side. I gave offering. Well, I hate to tell you, but if you get off the road, you're off the road, even if you were on it earlier. It doesn't matter when you left the road or how long you were off the road. What matters is that you're no longer on the road. Whether you've barely left or almost arrived, you're still in the ditch and need help. On the other hand, if you're here, if you're listening to Jesus, then it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how far off the road you drove. If you're paying attention now, then you're doing great. Jesus is the road, the truth, and the life. Now, any road is designed so that it takes you to a particular place. You can't blame it for taking you there. Highway 12 East will take you to the Twin Cities. You'd be childish to complain about arriving, for instance, at St. Cloud if you took Highway 23. That's just where the road goes. To claim it's unfair is missing the point. When we choose roads in our life, in the spiritual sense, when we, for instance, choose a lifestyle that just fits our needs, and well, then don't be surprised when that road leads to problems, to destruction, and if you don't turn, to death. On the other hand, when you turn to Jesus, the road, you will find that it leads you to truth and to life. Now, it's really important that we understand what we're saying when we say Jesus is the road. It doesn't mean being a good person. It doesn't mean doing the right thing, although if you follow Jesus, you will end up doing some of that. But it's not about pretending to be a good person. Instead, it's about following Jesus. When Yahweh says, turn and live, when Jesus says, repent and believe the good news, he doesn't mean simply be a good person or straighten out your life. He means focus on me, focus on Jesus, not yourself. You see, instead of being fixated on what we have done or haven't done, instead, we get the invitation to fix our eyes on Jesus. The author of Hebrews tells us, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's exactly why during Lent and during all other times, we focus on Christ crucified for our forgiveness. Focusing on Jesus means instead of trying to figure out just what I want, trying to figure out what Jesus wants. And the beauty and the grace is that when we fail, which we all do, we don't have to fix our problems. We just receive God's forgiveness and focus on what's next instead of what's behind us. The Holy Spirit does an excellent job when we turn from our sin, no matter where off in the wilderness we are, of recalculating and giving us a new path to follow. That quote from Hebrews also said that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. In other words, it's not we who have created our faith, but Jesus who creates and writes the story of our faith. Not only did our faith start with him as our author, but he's the one who makes us perfect as well. for me, I know that's good news because I can't be perfect in myself. I can't trust myself to finish things as I should. I need Jesus to be the perfecter of my faith. Jesus is the beginning and the end of our faith. As we repent of our sins this Lenten season, it's important to remember that. We may sin grossly and repeatedly, but instead of focusing on ourselves and how bad we are, we instead focus on how great Jesus is and how wonderful and gracious his forgiveness is. Again, to repent doesn't necessarily mean to be obsessed with our sin, as some people sort of think when that... Quite the opposite. It means dumping our sins at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, I don't want these nasty things anymore. Please get rid of them for me. Lent means less focus on me and more focus on how bad I've been or how good I think I've been. Instead, it means focusing on Christ. Don't listen to either voice, the one that's gloating or the one that's drowning in misery. Neither should you listen to the voice that says, I'm so great. Instead, listen to Jesus' voice. Repent and believe the good news. You are broken, but God's kingdom is coming. And for those who repent and believe, for those who turn, the Spirit of God will fix us. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Yahweh says, I desire not the death of the wicked, but that they turn and live. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Whether it's Ezekiel or the Apostle Paul or our Savior himself, they all seem to be on the same page here. They want us to turn and to repent. And they all agree that, as well, that God wants us to repent not so that he can punish us, but so that he can forgive us. Why die, O people of the Lord? Rather turn to Christ and live. In Jesus' name, amen.